Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Shelter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Butterfly Moment, my favorite time of the week because it's the best.
I have the best job in the world, right, John?
I have the best job in the world. I think it's so wonderful as part of a coaching practice to use technology to how to just share ideas, you know, share ideas and give possible tools out. You know, we get some great feedback from people. Thank you so much. It means a lot.
It does.
When we get, you know, people who call or email.
Yeah, we love to hear from you. So please don't be shy. You can reach us at empowerradio.com. You can reach John at
248-568-7021. My name is John Shelter, and I'm one of the co-hosts of this radio show with my beautiful partner in crime, Carrie Hall Shelter, my wife.
Thanks, John. And you can reach me at 586-943-6747. If you'd ever like a complimentary session of life coaching, John and I will be more than happy to spend one whole hour dedicated to you.
Mm.
So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, it's a really an opportunity to test the waters for something that I think could be a great, great introduction and a great, great tool for you. So this show believes in butterfly moments. And I always love to describe this because it's that time. A butterfly moment is something that Carrie and I came up with. It's that time when a caterpillar leaves the cocoon and realizes that it's more than it thought it was, that it's not just this caterpillar restricted in motion, that it's probably one of the most beautiful insects on earth, and best of all, it can fly.
It can fly. Mm-hmm. Yay.
And we believe that life is filled with a caterpillar
Butterfly moments.
Caterpillar.
Yes.
Butterfly moments. And we're going to have a special guest here today from across the pond named Sophie from Scotland.
Sophie is with us and she's so beautiful and so delightful.
Yeah, I'm always so interested in what people from different countries think when they come into our country and how it's different, how we learn that. You know, that's probably why. You know, Carrie, you love to travel so much because you
absolutely
get to...
And Sophie's going to give us a few insights. She's been here for about 2 weeks. I think Sophie was in Maine and then Kennebunkport area, and now she's in the Detroit, Southfield, Troy, Rochester, Royal Oak area.
Mm. Anyway,
we'll hear from Sophie later.
Okay, yeah, we have to dredge on here on this beautiful Friday, TGIF. We're going to be later on seeing Bob Seger, right? We're going to go on some
at a wonderful
nonprofit event.
Exactly.
And Carrie's going to be doing some photography and that type of thing. Following up on this life coach thing, 55 minutes of time with Carrie or I or both, focus just on you. You can talk about your hopes and dreams, and we don't give advice, but we give tools to help them become your reality. You might be able to identify what's standing in your way, what kind of strategies you use to get there. And so ask yourself, what do you want now? What are your strategies? Are they working? Remember what Albert Einstein said, a definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again to hope to get a different result. You know, I was thinking on the way over here, Carrie, that I used to caddy when I was growing up, for got me through college.
That's right. John was an Evans Scholar.
Right. Well, anyway, caddy scholarship. And I was thinking,
it's a great scholarship. And John's sister, Beth, was one of the first female caddies.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. I was very, very proud of her doing that. Anyway, as a caddy, I worked at Lockmore Golf Club. And the thought occurred to me that that's kind of like being a life coach. Because, you know, when you caddy, it's not your game. You're kind of along for the ride.
Oh, John, that's a good analogy.
And oftentimes, because you're there twice, three times a day on that course, he'll ask you, what club?
Mm-hmm.
And
because you know the terrain.
Right. But I don't really, would never make any recommendations in terms of strategy, in terms of all that kind of stuff. I might say, you know, a club. Well, that's a lot like life coaching.
Yeah, that's like the big golf game of life.
Yeah, and how you can use a different club this time to get a little farther, a little faster, mm-hmm. a little bit more delicately. So life is like a golf course.
Not a box of chocolates, right?
There's sand traps, there's waters, there's obstacles.
There's alligators. In Florida?
So what if we did that in life? We looked at it like a game. That the obstacles that we face make things interesting.
That's right.
And we don't panic and we don't stress. And it's like, I know Tony Robbins says, if you don't want stress, you're going to be dead.
Because exactly.
People
like
who
Norman
are dead.
Vincent Peale said, cemeteries are full of people that have no stress in their life.
I know. So I was thinking about that. It's all a matter of perspective. It's all a matter of, you know, looking at things and saying, wow, this is a great challenge. This is a great challenge. And I'm going to get through it. Here's another thing. I have a friend from Colorado. He actually was on the show. Jose, a great, great guy. And he's a life coach. And he's a great investor, inspiration to me. And he says, you know what I'm doing now, John? As part of my program, I'm trying to make 5 people a day smile. And I'm thinking, like, what a great thing.
Wow, Sophie does that, like, within the first hour of waking up, I'm sure.
You know, so if you're looking for a tool that may brighten your day, try it. Try to make 5 people smile today. Number one.
Gary? Number two. Nate.
Nate
smile. Our great producer.
Anyway. As you know, Carrie and I are not only life coaches, and we have foundations, nonprofit foundations that we support and help fund and work with. We're very passionate about that. And speaking of golf, I have a golf outing, Oak Ridge Golf Club in Macomb County. That's by 94 and 26 Mile Road, I believe. And if you get a hold of me, I can give you the details. It's on September 9th, another Friday.
You can reach John at 248-568-7021.
Right, and ask me about it. And, boy, I'd love to be able to talk to you and buy you a Coke, a beer, or something like that. And there'll be lots of fellowship and food. We can introduce you to the people in the Butterfly Foundation. And who are working with at-risk kids throughout Michigan. We're expanding rapidly in the Metro Detroit area. And we bring to these kids who are precariously on the fence posts of a life of crime or you know, potentially drugs, or a happy, productive life. And we teach them through the arts, share with them through the arts, a different way. And it's magic. It's just magic. And Carrie, in a more global sense with me, has another foundation meeting of her own. Why don't you tell us about it, Carrie?
Okay. Well, about 10 years ago, I think everybody may have heard the story before, but if you're just tuning in, 10 years ago, John and I went to Africa. We actually went to Kenya to visit a good friend of ours, my college roommate. And of course, you know, when you're returning from visiting a third world country and you come home, you're just in such awe of everything that we have here and how lucky we are. And so John and I just really got to thinking, what could we do? What could we do to give back? And when we were there, we noticed that especially their classrooms were in a state of disarray at this one little village that we visited around the Kasigal Mountain in Kenya. And we realized that the parents were just too busy earning a living. There's subsistence level farmers. If it doesn't rain, people don't eat. And so we said, well, gosh, what can we do? So we started raising money through house parties and through very grassroots things like garage sales and selling our possessions and doing charity photo shoots and every little thing that we could think of that we could earn money for kids. And people just really responded to helping these kids who really have nothing, but they're so grateful to learn. And now they have a beautiful school 10 years later. So we're very excited. We're kind of celebrating the joy of having a sustainable school in Kenya for these kids. It's called the Katege School. And in the last 10 years, through the efforts of our friends and donors, we have been able to add electricity, a kitchen, a library, have some kind of modern sanitation for the kids. Last year, we were so happy to send them on their class trip. So 44 kids and 9 adults actually got to go on a class trip on a bus, and it just completely blew their minds. Honestly, this is like us getting a trip to Mars, because these are kids who never leave the village, never get to go anywhere, do anything. And all of a sudden they were on this bus with water and treats and their friends and their teachers, and they were going to the capital of Kenya, which is Nairobi. They were going to Lake Nakuru. They strapped mattresses onto the bus and slept in churches along the way. So it was just a huge eye-opening event. The letters we got just like make your heart sing. The kids just were in awe of everything and just so, so thankful to all of our donors. So in celebration of all this, we are going to have a big event, a party, just like a lot of friends, food, great things to eat and drink, and a silent auction. We're having entertainment. Nate, our producer, is actually going to be performing as well. We're very excited to hear Nate's amazing comedy routine with local amazing singers like Peter Toko, Mary Callahan Lynch. Our friend Janet Pound is putting together all the entertainment, so we're very happy about that. We'd love you to come. So call me, 586-943-6747. I'll give you all the information about our event to help celebrate our 10 years of having the Katege School for the kids in Kenya and hopefully raise more funds. Just an aside, we have a special guest star. His name is Charles Coldman. He's coming in from Kenya, where he runs African Promise, which is who we donate our money to through Kids for Kenya in the United States to get everybody's tax deduction. Then Charles, being in the UK, he actually has a home in Kenya too, and is really on the ground just overseeing the school, overseeing the building of more schools. And Charles is coming to visit us. He wants to see who all these fabulous people are that have been donating their time and money over the last 10 years. So we're very excited about that. Thank you. We'll see you there.
Thank you, Carrie. I really enjoyed that presentation, and I hope that people can support it in their own way. And if you can't come and you'd like to participate, if you'd like to make a donation, get a hold of Carrie. It's just it'll warm your heart. I want to tell you, I've got a special video presentation that I'm going to be making. It's only at the event. It's only be about 5 minutes or so. I'm going to be working on it.
Too bad we can't show that on the radio, John.
We'll put a link. No, we will put a link.
Oh, see? Modern
technology. We'll be able to share it.
Amazing.
It has some awesome music on it, and Carrie's taking some awesome pictures. And so
you can't miss in Kenya. If you have a camera and you point it in the right direction, you're going to get something amazing.
Yeah. So, okay.
Today, we're talking about Ken Wilber.
Okay, Carrie, tell us a little bit about him.
Well, Ken Wilber is the author of over 20 books. He's the founder of Integral Institute, a think tank for studying integral theory and practice. He has an outreach through local and online communities such as Integral Education Network, Integral Training, and Integral Spiritual Center. If you're interested in knowing more about Ken Wilber, you can look into that. Ken Wilber was born in 1949 in Oklahoma City, and in 1967, he enrolled as a pre-med student at Duke University. He became inspired, like many people of that generation, by Eastern literature, and particularly, please forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it right, the Tao, the Tao Te Ching.
Yeah.
He left Duke, and he enrolled in the University of Nebraska, and after a few years, dropped out of the university to decide to write and devote his full time of his rest of his life to studying his own curriculum of integral thinking and to write books. I love this one quote by Ken Wilber. He says, "I have one major rule. Everyone is right. More specifically, everybody, including me, has some important piece of truth, and all those pieces need to be honored, cherished, and included in a more gracious, spacious, and compassionate embrace. So an integral approach, John, I would say, is based on one basic idea. No human mind can be 100% wrong. Or, as we say, no one is smart enough to be wrong all the time.
Right. You know, if I had to point to somebody that has had an influence on my life, my philosophy, my life coaching, my law practice, every aspect of it, it would have to be Ken Wilber. So I would urge you.
I was going to say me.
you too. Ken Wilber second. And if you just go on YouTube and look at some of his stuff, it is life-changing. It can help you with your family. It can help you with conflicts. The whole idea, the platform of this whole idea of inclusiveness, the fact that he believes that in his heart of hearts, their heart of hearts, everyone is right, is a magnificent way of looking at the world. And the way he does it, when I explain these tools, it'll change your life like it's changed mine. He says that there are basically three types of people in the world. In what is called the pre-conventional stage, it's egocentric. Egocentric is like a baby. By design, it cares only about itself, its own survival, and it needs that mindset, you know, to keep on living. That has carried over into certain individuals like Adolf Hitler, Attila the Hun. Maybe you've known somebody that they can't see past their own, palms of their hands. They are completely self-absorbed. Now, don't expect those people to be kind and compassionate and caring about others because they can't see it. Maybe you know somebody who is kind of egocentric. Again, they're kind of like a little child. The next group is the team, the village, the group.
The tribe.
It is the ethnocentric. And those are the people you might think of, some of them in politics today. Maybe they're kind of a combination of the two, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, where they are, you know, egocentric in their own way and ethnocentric. Well, anyway, Adolf Hitler had no room in the world for people who were not Nazis. So an ethnocentric group believes that they could cleanse the universe if they got rid of the people that weren't part of their tribe.
They weren't like them.
Right. So think about that in your own family relationships. Do you have mothers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, all that kind of stuff, who think of their family as like the tribe and have a difficult time looking past that? Again, what like Ken says in his inclusive theories, nobody is all right. Nobody is better than the other. The atom is just as important as the molecule, as important as the cell to make up the human body. Same thing with these last groups. And the last ones are world-centric. They're basically maybe 5 or 10% of the population. And I want to say that they're evolved to the extent that they've done the homework and they see things that the other groups don't. They see the world as, like Buckminster Fuller says, you know, it is a, what does he say? That it is a
spaceship.
Yeah, spaceship. The world is basically a spaceship and we're all passengers. And that we feel maybe not a necessity. We don't feel an urge to have this tribe and be very exclusive. They feel a desire, they feel a connection to people in other tribes, in other circumstances. And, you know, it's really quite profound. And again, these are generally teachers, these are generally leaders and people who feel affinity for other people.
I do think Ken Wilber says, I don't have to agree with everything you say, but I should attempt at least understand it. For the opposite of mutual understanding is quite simply war.
Right. So when you think about it, isn't ethnocentric, and even egocentric, the kind of precursor to most of the wars that I can think about, because it was a tribe or a group that felt that their own principles, that their own way of doing things, that their own attitude of life had to be uncompromised, had to be exclusive instead of inclusive. Now, here's the thing. If you look at your life and you see these either egocentric people, the Attila the Huns, who was a boss or maybe whatever, and the ethnocentric, you don't try to change them. You love and accept them the way that they are. And as you love and accept them, and as an inclusive instead of exclusive type of attitude, I think you'll see that they'll soften.
So basically, John, an integral way of thinking is comprehensive, it's balanced, it's inclusive,
right,
of everyone. And as Ken Wilber says, it's essential for completeness.
Right. And you know what this is? It's an opportunity to listen.
And
a world-centric person wants to listen and understand.
And have a dialogue.
Right, then be right.
And transcend.
And transcend and include, transcend and include. And when we have that situation, we include our beautiful guests. Right, Gary?
Yay, Sophie.
Okay, we are going to end with Ken Wilber. Again, go on YouTube and look him up. You'll be doing yourself a failure. It will be
a failure, a favor.
a favor. Yeah, but it will be not just a golf swing or a golf tool or a golf club. It'll be a golf bag, and it will really, really help you.
And you'll have some more tools in your chest,
right,
to work with.
Right.
Okay, we want to talk to Sophie. So wait till you hear this voice. Sophie, hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, it's really fun.
Oh, great. Listen, how long are you here in America?
I've been here for about 2 weeks, and I leave on Sunday.
Oh, my God. How great. So, vacation, business,
yeah,
what are you doing
vacation.
Here? Vacation. Okay.
My holiday.
What are your impressions, Sophie? What do you think?
Of
I don't know,
America?
Our lifestyle.
I love it. It's so different.
It's so different. How are some of the things that are different from Scotland?
Well, for starters, the cars driving the other side of the road.
Mm.
So that's different. Everything's bigger. The houses are different.
No, everything is bigger?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
I think it is. And the food is amazing.
Is the food? We have good food here? Oh, my goodness.
Good.
We had kind of a get-together the other night, and she said they had the best pizza.
Oh, my gosh. We have good pizza?
Pizza's great.
Yeah. So I understand you actually went to the Somerset Collection, which is a beautiful collection of stores. And how was that?
Oh, it was lovely. It was so big.
It was so big. Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you have things like that in Scotland?
Oh, we've got ones, but just not as big as that.
Yeah. And Sophie, where in Scotland are you from? What's
Glasgow.
Glasgow. So tell us your plans when you go home. What's in Sophie's future?
I'm going to start college in September for a flight attendant, and hopefully I get my exam results that I need to get into.
Yeah. And is there someone back home that you really miss? Like, your dad? Your dad? Oh, your dad. What about your daddies are all alone? And what's his name? Let's give a special shout out to that guy.
Nori.
Oh, he's such a great guy.
Yeah.
And he looks really good in a kilt.
Yeah, so that's that.
Yeah. So did you want to shout out to anyone else, like Hannah?
Oh, my sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish she was here.
Yeah, we wish Hannah was here too. But your mom is here, Cheryl.
My mom's here. She's
and
back.
She's just as delightful and beautiful as you are.
You know, we're going to take this and we're going to get a link, and we can send it to you in an email. And so you can send it, you know, to anybody that you want, relative to that. All of our guests so far, we've asked this question about the butterfly moment. And I think you understand what I said, that, there's that moment, that the caterpillar has when all after all this, like, you know, restrictedness, suffering and loneliness, darkness, all that kind of stuff, that it has that realization and realizes it's the butterfly. Do you have a butterfly moment
that you'd like to share with us?
My butterfly moment was when I left primary school. Was that like middle school? I went into high school and I became mature, independent, and just was for myself, really.
Wow.
So that was that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when you got accepted at the university,
Yeah.
And that is for the flight attendant training?
Sophia, I think you're going to have a lot of butterfly moments in your life coming up. I'm so excited for you. And we're so excited that we got to see you again.
Oh, thanks for having me on this.
Oh, you're so delightful. Come back anytime. Tell your mom and dad you have a standing engagement here every Friday.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been another great Friday, Carrie. You know, I want to thank you for your patience. And Sophie, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You know, and I mean, a shout out for little Henry, right?
I'll be Henry.
And, you know, we're going to be preparing for a great, great weekend. And so we wish that to everybody. And, you know, we send good wishes over to Scotland. And just smile 5 times a day.
And make someone else smile 5 times a day. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Give us the feedback.
Week.
We love you. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.